Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest updates in dermatology, to exclusive interviews with leading industry experts, and a glimpse of what goes on behind the scenes. I'm your host, Morgan Petronelli. Today we're discussing how to build your brand as a physician, what strategies to avoid, and tips on developing your own unique brand in an ever-evolving social world. Let's dive right in. Today I have joining me Paige Velasquez-Buddy, Chief Executive Officer at Zilker Media, a public relations, digital marketing, and platform development agency based in Austin, Texas. Well, thank you so much, Paige, for joining me today. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, building your brand as a dermatologist, you know, in a world where, you know, social media is definitely on the rise, everything is public, you know, and, you know, physicians are expected to, you know, kind of show off their, you know, their techniques and their skills and what they offer more on social media more than ever. So, you know, why is it so important for physicians to build their brand?
Absolutely. It's really interesting because most physicians don't think of themselves as a brand. In fact, you know, many cringe when they hear the word personal branding and perceive it as overly self-promotional or even ego-driven at times. And when you think about personal branding for a physician, I want you to think about it with just a mission-driven focus. Go into it with the mindset that you have an opportunity to broaden the way that you're able to teach and educate others beyond the patients that you see day to day. And when you develop a personal brand, it can provide the platform that you need to make just an even greater impact with your work. And, you know, long term, it's all about, you know, how can you grow your practice? How can you generate new revenue streams or transition into a new phase of your career? And whether that is a speaker or a thought leader, a lot of physicians become published authors. And the path just looks different for every physician, but it all goes back to how do you make that broader impact.
And on that, you know, what are some benefits of shaping your brand awareness?
Ultimately, for physicians, it's all about owning that first impression online. First impressions no longer happen when someone calls your office or walks into your practice. They're now happening online on the first page of Google. And if you think about it, a patient that's referred to you or an institution that's considering hiring you, even a journalist that's looking for an expert to interview, the first thing that they're going to do is they're going to go to Google and type in your name. And so when you Google your name, it's really common to find two types of results for physicians. First, typically what shows up at the top of the Google results is going to be their practice or institution website. And that's not a bad search result to have. I would actually encourage that to be one of your top results that comes up under your name. But the second typical result is an online review website. And these typically fill up page one for physicians. And you probably know what I'm talking about, Morgan. It's the health grades, it's the vitals. Most of these review profiles are often not filled out. And it's really leaving it up to others to control that first impression and control that narrative for you. And so you can be proactive in positioning yourself as an expert and a thought leader in your field with that first impression. And you want to give them a reason to pick up the phone and call or walk into your practice or office. So if you Google your name and you're not making that first impression, really what you're doing is just positioning yourself as a commodity, and there's nothing to differentiate you from others in your field. So the top number one thing that I can encourage all physicians to do is really to own that first impression moving forward.
And, you know, what are some common marketing mistakes that physicians can make while building and maintaining their brand?
There are really two big mistakes that we typically see physicians make. The first mistake, many physicians think that the institution or the practice they work for should do all the marketing for them. And yes, that's absolutely important and they should feature you in their marketing, but there is a really strategic advantage to you positioning yourself outside of that corporate brand to act ultimately as an on-ramp to grow that business. So you are acting as that entry point from a marketing standpoint. And if you have a strong personal brand, it really accelerates that speed of trust with prospective patients the way that an institution can't. Now, the second mistake that we see physicians make is they tend to get overwhelmed when trying to do all of these marketing initiatives at once, especially if it's focused on the personal brand. And physicians have one of the most demanding jobs in the world. So we understand that time is limited for a physician. Now, not all marketing initiatives have to be done at once. And that's the biggest thing I want to emphasize. Really focus on learning one social media channel at a time, becoming really confident, using it strategically. I'd rather you spend your time on one channel than strategically than spending it across several channels and not having any traction. Maybe look at starting with buying your website URL and building it over time. It doesn't have to be built within this year. You can go ahead and buy the dirt and build it over time. Also look at optimizing your LinkedIn profile to act as your home base for now, which I'll talk about the importance of that. But whether it's starting with LinkedIn, whether it's starting with Twitter, start in one place, get really good and comfortable, really strategic before you move on to the next initiative.
And what are some tips that physicians can use to build their brand?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, three tips come to mind just as immediate next steps of things that you can do now. First and foremost, Google your name. Like we talked about earlier, we call this just a basic online brand audit. And what you want to do is look at the top five search results that come up under your name. Your goal is to have ultimately media that you control, like your personal website, social media channels, thought leadership articles, in those top five links. Now, another thing to look at is if the results point back to you, there are some physicians with very common names. And the truth is that they will never own their first impression, especially if they have it in common with a celebrity. So if this is you, think about shifting your brand name. And really all that means is potentially adding a middle initial or a middle name to all of your online entities. What this does is help differentiate yourself. So when someone Googles you, you can actually own all of those results. Now, another thing with Googling your name, really look and see, do you own your URL? And this is like owning a piece of real estate and is one of the most powerful digital platforms that you can own these days. I'd recommend going to GoDaddy or name.com. It's typically cost $11 if no one has your name. And you can just use first name, last name, in your credentials, whether that's MD or PhD at buythe.com. This will help you show up in direct search results and will leave a very specific impression with whomever is searching. And if you can't build your website yet, still go ahead and buy the URL so that you have it until you're ready to start building. And if you need to wait a while before you start building your website, focus on optimizing your LinkedIn profile because that's the second best place that can be your home base. LinkedIn is a top-ranked website within Google's algorithms. So it shows up on top of page one Google, but it also has enough content to validate your authority and credentials, which is really key. Now, the second thing that you can start doing when you start building your platform, remember that the content that you put out doesn't have to be all on you. So when it comes to putting out content, whether it's social media or your blog, start thinking of it as if you were an editor of a newspaper. And when you think about newspapers, it includes various types of content from current events to interviews to information and research, as well as opinion pieces. And so jump into social media and your blog by sharing content in thirds. So there's three buckets that I want you to focus on. First is aiming for sharing news-driven content. So this is, you know, headline-driven content, maybe new breaking research that is coming up that you have an opinion on. The next bucket of content is relationship building. So those interviews that we were talking about, just like we're doing right now, it's focusing on shining that spotlight on others and involving others in your content as much as possible, because that's absolutely valuable to your audience to hear from other experts. And then lastly, save one third of it for you, in that those are those opinion pieces where you're, you know, sharing your expertise. But just remember that last category doesn't have to make up your content. It can be sparsed out between news-driven content as well as relationship-driven content. Now, the last tip I have is making Google your publicist. So set up Google Alerts. It's really easy to do. You can put in 3 to 5 keywords in your topic area, and each morning Google will email you those search results. So it'll share with you the latest news articles based on those keywords that you've put in. And you can review these stories from media outlets and really consider how you can add to the discussion. This is a great way to find articles that you can share on Twitter while also adding your perspective. The key, if you're putting that on Twitter, is tagging the journalist or the author who wrote the article. You can also share this type of content that you find on your blog posts, giving your perspective on, you know, recent research or breaking news, as well as LinkedIn. Really make sure that you use these keywords because they're important to your work. And high value press, as we all know, is the quickest way to build credibility and authority. But high value press is more of just that mass media. One piece of encouragement I wanna give physicians is, in today's media landscape, it's micromedia that really reigns. And micromedia includes online only publications, podcasts, email newsletters, and blogs. So really look at, are there specific newsletters or podcasts that are focused on their area of expertise? And really look at these channels and pitch yourself to these channels to start building credibility. A lot of these micromedia outlets have a really loyal following that also has a high, you know, level of trust with their following. With mass media, those are great credentialing points to have, but people have to spend a lot of time scrolling, and they have to spend a lot of time, you know, digging into an hour's worth of content to only get a fraction of what they want. And so really focus on what are those right micro media channels that you can be a part of that are going to be valuable to that audience.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell the audience?
No, I think that the biggest thing is just, again, when you start out with content marketing or you start out with personal branding, the big thing is, you know, how do you involve others in your content? And whether that's through an interview series or whether that's through writing about a piece about new breaking research that one of your peers have done, that's the most exciting thing is deciding, you know, how can I make a bigger impact and how can I involve others as much as possible?
Well, I think that's some great advice. Thank you so much, Paige, for joining me today, and you have a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Morgan.
For more Dermatology Times content, from articles and videos to podcasts, you can visit www.dermatologytimes.com.